It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. If I remember correctly from literature, that came from A Tale of Two Cities. I see some people nodding in assurance that I did not receive call out the name of the wrong book. But I wanted to start this particular sermon this way because of the title of the sermon, and because in a way it is the best of times to deliver such a sermon, and in a way it's the worst of times. This being the Memorial Day weekend, a number of our families have been obligated or have chosen to go away this week. And from that standpoint, it's the worst of times because everybody needs to hear what is said here today. From another standpoint, it's the best of times because we're here. And we have the opportunity to hear if the Lord's church is not a priority. What a wonderful concept. What a wonderful thought. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, that which has been chosen for our text this morning, we'll see that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount was speaking to Jews, to those who would have the opportunity, not many days hence, to hear the word of the gospel for the first time as they gathered together at Pentecost in Jerusalem. And he said unto them, previous to this Pentecost event, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, more and more people reject church and religion today than any other time in history. I say that from the standpoint that people have done polls or they have done research, and there have been times when religion, per se, has been very important in the lives and the families of people in this country and all over the world. But there's also been times in which the church, and I mean this from the true standpoint, the kingdom of God, the church, has grown and grown exponentially. And today, it seems to be at an all-time low. Many people, see no reason to participate in church. What does this say? It says that they don't think it necessary to gather together and to worship God. So they set other things as priorities in their lives. They put things in a higher order of importance than church or religion. What impact does this have? How will this affect those who make such choices? You know, one need not totally abandon the church to cause it to be a lower priority than something else. They need not totally abandon religious teaching to feel the negative effects of the world in their lives. Just let the church no longer be a priority, and you'll see what happens. Attendance becomes non-important. Giving becomes less important. Fellowship with the saints becomes something that you can take it or leave it. It's interesting to me how that we can understand how that just breaking down a little bit of something leads to a lot worse in things of life. You don't need to go out and physically rip down a whole fence in a pasture to allow the cows to escape. Just simply take down one small part of it. Simply don't maintain it. Eventually, those posts, if they're made out of wood, are going to rot. It doesn't matter what kind they are. Eventually, they're going to rot. And if nothing else, the staples will come out of the fence and it'll begin to sag. And when the first cow sees that it's okay to press down on it a little bit, and it doesn't bother them, it doesn't hurt them, and they got their eyes on that grass on the other side of the fence, next thing you know, you have a whole yard full of cows and the pasture standing there empty. Why? Because whoever was responsible for that fence did not make it a priority. If we want the cows to stay in the pasture, we must maintain the fence. If we want Christians to stay in the church, we must maintain our priority in the church. If we don't want our whole existence affected, we must keep the church, the Lord's church, as a priority in our lives. You know, the Bible teaches this as a responsibility before God. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, we'll see that there was time dedicated to seeing to it that the church in a particular location was well founded, was well supported, was well taught. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What was going on in Antioch? The church was a priority in the minds of these people. The teaching was a priority in the minds of these people. Neglect of the Lord's church will definitely influence our eternal destiny. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as the apostle Paul met with the Ephesians elders, perhaps for the last time, we find Luke's record given to him by the Holy Spirit. What the apostle Paul was directed to say in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 to these elders: take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. What was he saying? Make the church a priority. Why? Because if you don't, it will affect your life. So we need to ask the question, how will it impact or affect our present lives? So I have several points, and every one of them begin the same way. If the Lord's church is not a priority, but I will repeat it just so you won't forget it. When you leave here today, I want you to know one thing and one thing only, if you don't get anything else. And that is, the Lord's church needs to be a priority in your lives. If the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our view of ourselves. Every one of us examine ourselves at some point during our lives, and oftentimes throughout our lives. But with what standard do we do so? When we are all about the same height as our classmates, we like to think, you know, I'm pretty tall. And there was a time, believe it or not, that I was as tall as every one of my classmates. I was taller than some of them. But that was the standard. The standard changed about 9th or 10th grade when everybody, I came back from summer and I thought, wow, you know, all my friends, I'm going to get to see them and everything. And I'm looking up, like, wow, what happened to you? And I didn't grow. The standard has to be a set standard, not something that can be judged by other things. If the church is not a priority, it will affect our view of ourselves. When we think about the Lord's church, and if we don't make it a priority, we will forget our spiritual nature. I know when we look at the heights of ourselves and our classmates, like I just mentioned, we're looking at things from a physical standpoint, but here we're talking about our spiritual nature. We cannot afford to forget our spiritual nature. We are spirit beings, believe it or not. The home of the soul is the body. The body is created in order for the soul to exist, and God has provided for us, those of us who live in the New Testament age, the church. And if the church is not a priority, we will forget our spiritual nature. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, we find the apostle Peter directed by the Spirit to write in that general epistle, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. What was he saying? If we don't make the Lord's church a priority in our lives, we're going to perish in our own corruption. You think, well, that's them. Well, look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. You'll see that the apostle Paul, also directed to write by the Spirit to Titus in this particular location, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, includes himself and Titus, in fact, all humanity, knowing that at some point in our lives the church was not a priority. And he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. When? When the church was not a priority in our lives. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We one time lived that way, but no longer, because we view ourselves spiritually and we place a priority. We place the church as a priority in our lives. When one forgets his or her spiritual nature, it makes one selfish. There's a number of people in this world that think that the world revolves around them. Everything about the world, or everything that's going on in their particular existence, it's all about them. When that happens, then you become the priority and the church no longer is. Look at Jude, verse 12. He's talking about those who are selfish, those who would fall into that category. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. If the church is not a priority in our lives, we won't see our sinful condition before God. You know, somebody is brought up never being told that this sin or that sin or any sin for that matter is wrong. They will do it and have no conscience about it at all. Why? Because they can't see their condition before God. In Psalms, the 94th division, verses 7 through 11, we see the psalmist was directed to write about those who do not see their condition before God because they didn't put God first. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Listen, God sees everything. He knows everything. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? You know, we think, when people buy into this stuff about evolution and that man evolved over years, that they set aside the fact that God created humanity. God put the ears in place. He put the eyes in place. He formed man from the dust of the ground. And foolishly, those who don't put God as a priority think, well, God won't hear, God won't see. Verse 10 there says, he that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Not only does he know what you do, not only does he know what you see, not only does he see what you do, he knows what you think. We've got to keep God as a priority. And in this age, this New Testament age, the church is where we're most likely going to encounter God. And yes, the church needs to be a priority or it will affect our view of ourselves. Secondly, if the church is not a priority, it will affect our view of the world. What will we hear? There are times when I am very thankful that I don't even have to get up anymore and go across the room to turn the knob off on the television. It used to be you'd have to get up, whatever you had on your lap or whatever, set it off, get up, go to the TV, turn the knob, change the channel or whatever. Now we all have these, some people call them clickers, remotes. And when offensive stuff comes on, what do? Oftentimes people say, oh, you know, you hear it all the time. What will we hear? We hear silence because we turned it off. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we see that the things that the world puts out before us and that we hear, that we take in, affect us. And if the church is not a priority, it will affect our view of the world. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." What about the songs that we sing and the things that we discuss? How important are these things? If the Lord's church is not a priority for us, we'll sing whatever kind of songs. I think years ago, my father-in-law called them catting songs. I don't know what that means. People catting about or whatever. But what kind of songs do we sing? What kind of things do we discuss? If we don't keep the church as a priority in our lives, we're going to be talking about the same things that the world is going to be talking about. We're going to be listening to the same things that the world is listening to. What about songs we sing? Do we even think about them? Oh, we get up and we're going to have a song service tonight. There might be four of us here. If that's the case, we'll have an authorized quartet. But that's okay. We're going to raise our voices to God. And we're going to sing songs, and we're going to choose songs, and they're going to be scripturally correct. We sing, "It won't be very long." Do we think about it? "It won't be very long, but I'm going to live like I want to while I'm here." No, that's not the way it goes. We sing about how great thou art. And yet, we don't make God a priority in our lives. We sing, "This world is not my home." We don't want to be here forever. But we need to think in our hearts and keep the church as a priority. If we don't keep the church as a priority, we will see the world as our home. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And as that beloved apostle was directed to write in that general epistle, he says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." No matter when or about what the comparison is made, God is greater than anything of the world or in the world. And those who are in Christ are greater than the world. Notice verse 5 says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Because the church is a priority with us, we can discern between good and evil. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, we see that those who are of the world, those who do not put the church as a priority in their lives, are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Let me ask you a question. I want everybody's attention for just a second. Do you want to be an enemy of the cross of Christ? No. Then make the Lord's church a priority. It tells us there in Philippians 3:18 beginning, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. They serve themselves, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." It is amazing to me what happens to people. Their view of the world, when they're looking out of the world, on the world, and they forget God, they forget the church, they look at the world and say, "You know what? It's not so bad out there." But it is. Now, look at verse 20. As the Apostle Paul continues to write, "For our conversation or manner of life is in heaven." Our directives come from heaven. "From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself." And of course, this will happen at that great trumpet sound. Our view of the world will already have been affected if we don't make the church a priority. If the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our family. A lot of times when people make decisions, they'll say, "Well, I have to see how it's going to affect my family." And then they'll take a job that requires them to miss services 3/4 of the time. And they think, yeah, but you know what? I'm providing for my family. No, you're not. You might be giving them a place to live and food to eat and clothes on their back, but you're far from providing. If the Lord's church is not a priority, it is affecting your family adversely. We shape our values then by the world's views. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, we see a passage that many women perhaps would not want to discuss. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. I've heard several women myself, and I've heard of a number of women say, ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. Well, I didn't set up the plan of marriage, folks. God did. If you have a problem with it, you better talk to God. Of course, it's not gonna change anything. The plan is set. He set everything in order. And people say, well, what do you mean submit yourselves unto your own husbands? Notice it says, as it is fit to the Lord, or in the Lord. In other words, in accordance to his word. And husbands, let us not think that we're off the hook here. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We've got to share our relationship in a family and make the church a priority in our family. And yes, it affects the children's also. In verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Do you want to please the Lord, children? Yes. Well, what are we to do? Obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's important that we understand that if the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our family. How does it affect a family? Look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, and everybody knows what that passage talks about. Many, many years ago, I was part of a small minority. My parents split up and divorced. Oh, we were the talking points for the town for a little bit there, because is one of the first in the town. But why? Because the Lord's church was not a priority. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, and I'll be quick to point out, this was before the church was established, but the principle is there. It's been there since the beginning. Jesus said, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is not, or which is put away, doth commit adultery. Many families have been ruined because the church is not a priority. If the Lord's church is not a priority, we won't consider reasons why to be better. Again, we talk about husbands and wives. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Oftentimes people want to read this, and depending on their attitude, depending on whether or not the church is a priority, or if they want to think about the ways of the world, they don't realize that it definitely affects their family if they don't follow it. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, speaking about the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And there again, people want to get upset about that. We have these people saying, I can do anything a man can do. Well, maybe you can. But that's not the way God set things up. The man is the head of the woman. And Christ is the head of the man. And all of them are to submit to Christ. And Christ died so that there could be the church. And so it could be priority in our lives. And notice in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the latter part of it. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. I know no greater desire for a husband or a wife than to desire that their spouse also become a child of God, faithfully serve, and their soul be saved. We're to influence our families so that the church is a priority. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the fathers are not to provoke their children to wrath. But it tells us what is opposite of provoking the children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you cannot do that if the church is not a priority in your life. Fourth, if the church is not a priority, it will affect our view of time. It's amazing how many people still wear watches. You know why people wear watches? Because it's a lot more convenient just to swing your arm up than it is to pull something off your hip and look. But I know a lot of people that say, I don't need a watch anymore. I've got my phone, and it tells me the time. We all are aware of time. However, if the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our view of time because we will avoid reminders of our own mortality. How much time do you have? Well, I don't know. You don't know. The world doesn't know. But we all have a short period of time in the great span of things. In Psalms 103, verses 15 through 17, the psalmist was directed to write relative to the minute amount that each person has. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. We've got to understand that if the church is not a priority in our lives, it will affect how we view time. We'll worry about making sure that we get all the things in life done that we want to get done before our time runs out. Because everybody knows that people die. But if the Lord's church is a priority, we will spend our time serving God. In Psalms 144, 3 and 4, again, the psalmist is directed to write about the brevity of time. Lord, what is man that thou hast taken knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. So many passages talk about time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. We see there that Solomon was directed to write, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And so that we do not miss it, verse 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die. We're going to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up which is planted. But we imagine sometimes that we have plenty of time. If indeed the Lord's church is not a priority, we may very well think that. But look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Keep in mind that the New Testament was written to Christians from Acts on. The church existed, Acts chapter 2. And this portion of the Word of God was written to Christians. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there in a year and buy and sell and get gain. We don't have to worry about life the way the world has to worry about life. Because all they're worried about is going to such a city and continuing there a year and buy and sell and get gain. But in verse 14 we're told, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? When you think about life, what do you think? We talk about people, and it depends on where we are in life. I remember when my grandparents were in their 60s. Oh, my goodness. Those were old people. Looking back, they were pretty young. When you're at 60 and beyond, looking back, you think, you know, anything less than that is pretty young. Isn't that right, sissy? Just so everybody understands, sissy and I are about the same age. So I'm not picking on her. But we imagine we have plenty of time. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How long can you see steam? Not very long. It's going to go away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, it's not wrong to make plans. It's not wrong to try to accomplish things. However, at the very top of the list needs to be the church. That needs to be number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, it doesn't mean, well, just as long as I'm part of the church, I've got him first in my life. Or just because I read the Bible occasionally, I have him first in my life. We've got to use our time making sure that we prepare for that which is beyond this life. That which we buy and sell and get gain, none of that's going to matter when it's all said and done. If indeed the church is not a priority, it will affect our view of time because we make no provision for eternity. A lot of times people like to think, I'm afraid, that when it's time for me to die, I'll get right with the Lord. Actually, I had somebody tell me that one time. You know, when I get closer to when I die, I'll try to get right with the Lord. Wow. I said, you know, there have been people that have died with a surprised look on their face because the last thing they saw was the car that slammed into them out of nowhere. How much time did they have to get ready? Well, the exact same time that you have. Everything from this point backward. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, again, previous to the establishment of the church, but the concept and the idea lingers on and carries on. The Lord told those people there, lay it not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. All of the things that we have here on this earth, while we might place a great deal of importance on them, and it might cause us to be able to live in a little more comfort, none of that's going to matter because it's going to fall apart. It's going to decay. And eventually it's going to be burned up. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. The things that are provided for us of God, if the church is a priority to us, cannot be taken away, cannot be destroyed. And finally, if the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our view of loyalty to God and to Christ. It will adversely affect our relationship with God. What kind of relationship do we have with God? That's a question that every Christian needs to ask themselves. Matter of fact, that's a question every person needs to ask themselves. No doubt, when a person has heard the truth, when they have understood their soul's condition, they will ask themselves that question. Maybe not in those words, but they will ask themselves the question, what kind of relationship do I have with God? And I think it's a very good question to ask, especially those who are Christians, especially those who are members of the body of Christ, the Lord's church. What kind of relationship do I have with God? Is it one that's proper? Is it one that's right in accordance to the word? Or is it one that's because I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I've done what I need to do, I'm okay? You know, in Jesus' time, there were those who had done what the law said. They had done what had been commanded of them. And the Lord told them that even then they were unprofitable servants. Why? Because following the law to them was not a priority. What about the commitment we made to God when we obey the gospel? If indeed the church is not a priority to us, it will affect our loyalty to God and to Christ because the commitment we made when we obeyed the gospel is no longer honored by us. We think, well, you know, no big deal if I miss a Sunday or two. You know, there are 52 Sundays in a year. I guess maybe except for leap year. I guess there's 53 maybe. I don't know. But let's just say there's 52. And some people say, well, now you got to back that off because I get 2 weeks vacation. No, you never get a vacation from serving God. 52 weeks out of the year. how many opportunities do we have? We say, well, you know, if we meet on the first day of the week, and then we meet the second time on the first day of the week, which is acceptable, by the way, and then we meet on Wednesday night, that's 3 times 52, and y'all do the math. I'm not good at it. But that still does not fulfill the commitment. At that point, just because we're here in the building, we're still unprofitable servants. But what did Paul tell Timothy as he was directed by the Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20? Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. What has been committed to our trust? The Word of God. What have we committed to God? We've committed our soul to God. Timothy was told, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. There were those who would offer up scientific explanations for this and that. Oftentimes, we need to reflect upon the commitment we made to God. I think that people need to be taught that when one obeys the gospel, you're making a solemn commitment to God. When people are thinking about entering into marriage, they're making a solemn commitment to one another, and also, believe it or not, to God. God instituted marriage. Man has perverted it. God established the church. Man has perverted it in many cases. But if the church is not a priority, it will affect our view of our loyalty to God and our loyalty to Christ. How loyal are we to God? How loyal are we to Christ? For that matter, how loyal are we to our brothers and sisters in Christ? If the Lord's church is not a priority, it will affect our loyalty to God. How faithful are we in our prayer life? You call a family member. They don't answer the phone. Your first thought is, oh no, there's something wrong with them. They're sick. And then the phone rings. And they say, well, I couldn't answer the phone right then. If you dig a little bit, you might find out they were spending time in prayer. All Christians should spend time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Verse 17 is a passage if you need to remember, if you need to commit a passage to memory, because you're required to memorize a Bible verse. This is a real good one. Pray without ceasing. Three words. Easy. Most people want to memorize Jesus wept. This is just as easy. Pray without ceasing. But he's talking to Christians here, and in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Listen to prayers. Listen to prayer. Don't listen with an eye on or an ear on being critical, but listen to prayers. You're going to find out, and mine are the same way. I'm not taking myself out of this equation. But most of the time, our prayers are, bring the blessings on, Lord. Give me this, give me that. Oh, by the way, thanks for everything. What does this passage tell us? In everything, give thanks. Our prayers should be about 80, 85% thanks. God's already provided all things that pertain to life and godliness. What more do we want? What more do we need? I tell you what we need. We need the church to be a priority in our lives. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, concerning you. What about attendance? Are you faithful in your attendance? I'm going to guarantee you this one thing, and the Bible supports it. If the Lord's church is not a priority, attendance won't mean so much. Hebrews. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Of course, they had a specific issue and situation that was being addressed, and there were some of those who were forsaking the assembling of the saints together because of the confusion that was brought in by those teaching the Jewish doctrine, that one had to still hold to the law. But the effect was the same. The the church had no longer remained a priority in their lives. How much do we value our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ? If the church is not a priority, it will affect that as well. I guess the question then to be asked, is the Lord's church a priority for you? I said before that this should be asked by each person, most especially those who are members of the body of Christ. But one of the things that we would be remiss relative to our relationship to God and keeping the church as a priority is finding out if others are members of the body of Christ. Several years ago, there was a question about whether or not a particular man could serve in the congregation. And it was asked by people who did not know, because when they arrived in that town and began attending that congregation, there was a man that was there, a young man, had a wife, children. And even when the wife and children had to be out of town for whatever reason, that young man was in services. Well, he was more faithful than some of the Christians. And somebody says, why don't so-and-so, why is he not asked to pray or wait on the table, whatever the case may be? And the answer was, why, he's not even a member of the church. I guess that's the question that needs to be asked. Are you a part of the church? If not, you need to be. You need to be a child of God, and you need to be taught from the get-go that the Lord's church is to be a priority in your life. If you are a part of the church, you need to know from this point forward, you should have already known it, but from this point forward, the church needs to be a priority in your life. If it's not, it will affect our view of ourselves. If it's not, it will affect our view of the world. If it's not, it will affect our view of family. And it will affect our families. And if not, it will affect our view of time. It will also affect the view of loyalty toward God and Christ. What does a person do to become part of the body of Christ? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we are taught that one must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must also believe. Many, many people know and quote, some misquote, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice this portion. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not shall not, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so once one hears the word of God, they must believe. Believe what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then one must repent. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is absolutely necessary. And in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Having heard, believed, and repented, a person is to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And we know Romans 10 and verse 10 tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then one is to be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. One cannot be saved until they're baptized. And they cannot be baptized into Christ until they've heard, believed, repent, and confessed. And then, at that point, the church is a priority in their lives. But it needs to remain that way. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, we see that the Apostle Paul was directed to write, and so that we know that the church was a priority in his life. At the end of his life, he was able to look back and say, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, look at this. in verse 8, henceforth, or because of these things, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. Why was this said? Because it is necessary, once one is in Christ, to remain faithful unto death. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've allowed the church to not be a priority. You can begin today. You can restore your relationship with God through repentance and prayer if you're already a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you need to become one. And we've outlined the steps. Don't leave here today thinking that there's time enough yet. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the selected song. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we implore that you please come as we stand and sing.